La parola.
Thank you for giving me the floor. There's an undeniable link between sexual violence against women and decarbonization. Women in protected areas surrounding bodies of water. If we look at the Vion des Parcs, for example, situated in the east of the country, that park, like other protected areas in the Republic of Congo, has become an operational field, and it has had an impact on the balance of the ecosystem due to the destruction of the biodiversity because of the armed groups that operate in that area. And I mention this case because one of the sub-questions of that major question was about the responsibility of the state of Congo and the responsibility of the international community and the consequences of armed conflict in matters of climate change. And there was also a question if in these protected areas there are people protecting these protected areas and ensuring their safekeeping, and also women, locals of these communities. There's legislation in the DRC about how to protect these protected areas. A law in 2014, the Law on the Preservation of Nature, which outlines the ways in which these protected areas are to be protected by nationals that have been trained and armed to protect them. In 2015, a decree was written by the Prime Minister calling for an armed group devoted to protecting the protected areas. To confront the somewhat periodic incursion of the Rwandese army in these protected areas, because that's a location of strategic ores that are important for the energy transition.
One of the consequences of climate change is this multiform energy crisis, which means that firewood and charcoal carbon is one of the preferred options for energy needs sought by women and girls who live in these areas neighboring these nature reserves, these protected reserves. But in searching for that firewood, that charcoal, they can often fall victim to these armed groups which are preying in the areas. They regularly do fall victim to these armed groups when seeking to meet their energy needs, and they're often raped. And all of this because there is no alternative energy source to, for example, firewood or charcoal. Now, in each of these protected reserves, in these protected parks, there are guards, there are units responsible for protecting these reserves. But the light weapons that they are armed with are no match for the sheer firepower of these armed groups, who are often operating in the area with much more sophisticated, much heavier weapons. And so they can just muscle their way in and then wreak havoc in the biodiversity and the flora and fauna found in these protected reserves. We have seen the decimation of the elephant population of the DRC, for example, because ivory is a key source of financing the war, the conflict. And the guards who are in place in these nature reserves, these protected reserves, are in no way capable and no way equipped for preventing these attacks on elephants. And no way are they in a position to protect women who are often raped and attacked when they're searching firewood, etc. And the government does not have the necessary control over this area because it's been wrested from them by these armed groups supported principally by Rwanda. Many of these areas have been categorized as World Heritage Sites by UNESCO, but that doesn't seem to have caused many ripples at the international level. People don't seem to have apprehended fully the key role played by the forests in the DRC in the fight against climate change. I think you're seeing a dawning awakening to that fact, and that we are a key solution as a country to climate change, because we are home to vast forest reserves and to a vast swathe of biodiversity, all of which plays a key role in reducing greenhouse gases. But that impact of the conflict also needs to be properly understood and measured. Thank you. Microphone, please, for the speaker.